I knew that this was the next generation of children that felt the love. You know, their parents may have looked at me going, I don't know what she's talking about, love and the heart and all this stuff, but they exemplified that understanding. They were so awake.
So even in times of uncertainty and even in times of trial and struggle, we still have that innate ability to bring unity consciousness out in every single person, no matter what they've been through, no matter what they've been challenged with. And I think that that's a real deep conversation. And I think, you know, recognizing that Christmas is around the corner as well. And this is the time where a lot of people feel, you know, maybe being away from their own families, even in this time period, is very difficult for people. So, you know, this is a beautiful opening, I think. I think that this is a great conversation to have, because what can we do to bring more unity consciousness? Because the school of the heart does that so beautifully. And I think each one of us understand that concept. And each one of us, especially right now where we are, we're, you know, like weeks away from Christmas here. What else can we do? What can we do, the small acts right now, that can bring that unity consciousness together in our communities? Whether it's for someone who has come from abroad from a very challenging struggle, and looking for that stable normality. And realistically, everyone's going through it. The businessman is going through it. Obviously the ones that are going through something like this, they come from a different country which has civil unrest. They're coming. But then on top of that, isn't it ironic how we're here at Christmas time, which is for a lot of people a real time of challenge. And looking back at that, you know, and what can we do? You know, the big question, I think, in our community, in our the School of the Heart community, is really, what can we do? How can we be of service? And that's a beautiful example of what you've been able to do, bringing the children in and just saying, you know what, everything's going to be okay. And each one of us has a story, don't we? We know someone who's been through something or is going through something right now.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I mean, Chris, how do you feel on the big island there? You know, do you feel that there's a lot of uncertainty, challenge, struggle, but yet there's this beautiful ability for people to bring that unity consciousness in?
Well, on Kauai, it's we're going through the same kind of COVID struggles as everyone else, and COVID meaning lost tourists, meaning no income, no jobs for people. So, and on the other hand, some are doing very, very well. It's like a flip, but we're all, you know, being challenged to find unity in some way in these times of extreme divisiveness. I mean, you could say it's easier to do on an island with warm weather. I mean, it's so hot today. I really didn't want to wear any clothes at all. I'm just really sweating here right now, but
Here as well, Chris, here as well.
you know, I guess people connect with nature more here. They connect with the sun more here. They connect with the water, with the sand, with the hikes, with you know, becoming one with nature is such an important tool, you know. It's something we've, a lot of us have lost. I grew up in a city, and I wouldn't say a concrete jungle. My parents were from a concrete jungle in Hong Kong. But yeah, we want clean. We want like no insects and no cockroaches and things like this. And New Yorkers who move here are faced with the biggest challenge of knowing they're in paradise, and yet they can't stand the ants crawling around everywhere. And they're like trying to treat everything, call in the pest control, and they're like, oh my God, cockroaches. It's like, where are you going to go on this island that's not that you're going to be free of that? I mean, you could have a container that was, you know, like a cube, and try and lock them out, but it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is the nature of the island. So here people connect to nature a lot.
And that's such a beautiful part of unity consciousness, because, you know, bringing Gaia and connecting with that is so sacred, so needed, so beautiful, because realistically, we, as we're walking, are extensions of the earth, of Mother Earth, connecting to the cosmos, you know. I mean, it's such a beautiful integral part. I know for us now, you know, you're at the complete opposite. And Maida, you probably, you know, can attest to this. Canadian weather is something challenging for us in the winter, depending on where you are. How are you going to go out and get that fresh air? How are you going to connect with nature? And of course, we've got shorter daylight hours as well, on top of everything. And so that becomes a bit of a challenge. But you know what? I still make sure that I go outside. That connection to nature is so vital, so important. But, you know, don't you feel that right now, like Maida was expressing, she, you know, obviously with the challenges and struggles of people coming from other countries and how they're coming together, and as much as they've been through whatever, they're looking, they're searching, but the whole planet is looking and searching, and we are in definitely uncertain times at this time. Agassi, what does Daniel and Drinvalo, what do they say is the key to these uncertain times right now? You know, how could we move forward in a very flow state?
I think, you know, I was listening earlier and thinking of, because we've traveled a lot, right? So that's one of the things. I think once you travel and you meet with different, doing workshops, different communities, different cultures, one of the things that you get to see is from a different perspective what people are experiencing. So everywhere you go, people are experiencing, they're living in their microcosm, right? So the whatever is around them, that's what they experience. So if, for example, there is a financial crisis, that's what they feel. That's their whole world, right? That crisis. If there are huge destructions and disasters, again, and that's their world. And even if, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, wars. We all know how devastating that is, right? Coming through a place where there is so much violence and uncertainty and fearing that you might, not just yourself, that you might get hurt, but losing family, losing, I mean, I don't think you can express with words how people that go through war feel. But one of the things that is important to see, and it's related with what's happening today, is that we all live in this small part, or we see this small part, right? It becomes our reality. Sometimes people feel that, you know, this is so bad. And that's why they cannot understand, or it's hard to understand a bigger picture of love. If I come from a place of war and fight and conflict, when I'm embraced, or when somebody comes to me and I'm thinking, okay, what do they want from me, right? I've come from a very different background. So that's how we think because of it. However, at the end of the day, and because of us traveling a lot, what we managed to see is that everybody, in essence, are looking for the same thing, right? They're looking for a better life. They're looking for a healthy life. They're looking for a happy life. And that's the essence of everything that deep down people are looking for. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter how they were raised. So I think, and in the school today, and I think it's very nice, we have teachers that are coming from 32 countries. We have 19 languages. Right. So it's an amazing demonstration, if you like, of how people can come together, irrelevant of whatever is going on, irrelevant of who we think our personalities are. And that's the same thing for what's happening today. There is a lot of change. You know, we were used to thinking that we know what's coming next. I think that's what changed. Today, you know, you don't know what's coming next. But in essence, we never knew what's coming next, right? So I think today is just so more vivid that we don't know what's coming next, and we have to make the best of what we do today. And the inner finding that space within us where we can honor who we are, learn to live in a space of the heart, and whatever comes next, we'll deal with whatever comes next, right?
Yeah.
Trust.
It was definitely easier to hold on to that controlling the future thing, like controlling outcomes, like this illusion of thinking that we actually have control of what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after. Whereas right now, it's, if you're still trying to hold on to that, you're getting a big reality check constantly, like just constantly. And yeah, it's this showing up of the impermanence of everything. And conflict for me is it's a state of impermanence. Peace is something that is actually recognition of the fact that everything is impermanent, and harmony is never solidified in one point. It's always moving. It's always flowing. How do we let that flow? How do we actually not hold on to things that outcomes? How do we not hold on to the something we've dreamed about the future? And, our school has so many incredible teachings. I think it all just comes back down to one thing, which is coming back to the heart. You know, we say remembering who we are, but coming back to the heart, it's like, it sounds easy, and it actually is easy, but we've been so far lost and far gone from that point that we have to talk about tools to bring us back there. You know, but as babies, it wasn't like that. It was just there all the time. But we've come such a far long way from away from the heart. And
that's a beautiful explanation. And I know, Chris, you're the perfect person to also you know, just reiterate going from where we are, or where we were, let's just say where we were, and into the heart. I mean, we are no longer, as much as we feel like we're in survival mode, it's really pushing those energies up. And you might want to elaborate on that, because there are so many people right now. My brother-in-law is an accountant, international accountant. there are people 75% or more living paycheck to paycheck. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. 75, more than 75%. And I'm like, wow, that's an amazing statistic. And the authorities know, and the banking system knows, and the government knows, but what are we doing about it? How do you go from survival, which is in the lower centers, and into the heart?
It's easy to sit here and sort of preach outwardly to go, this is what you need to be doing. But I find that that's often very unhelpful. just simply to share my own journey of that transition is, I transitioned out of having a regular paycheck into a completely, which I wasn't passionate about whatsoever, what I was doing before. And through a transitory time where it's like no income or very, very minimal income, to really that all that uncertainty of not knowing how is going to pay the rent, how is going to feed myself, right? Or even ask for support, like the pride of being able to be self-sufficient. All of these, so many different emotional aspects that arise, centered around the courage of actually leaving behind something that wasn't really working, right? It's extremely challenging emotionally from a feeling-centric space, that sense of uncertainty. And you could have told me through that time, just change your perspective, Chris, do more meditation, do this, do that. It just wouldn't have helped. I was already doing a lot of that. It's just a process. It's a process of like detoxification in a way. And it's like we're detoxifying from parts of the old. And right now, we're the conscious collective is being forced to walk down that road. It's not really a choice anymore. We're on that road, whether we like it or not. And we got to face that, and we're detoxing from what I see is just like a stickiness to an old paradigm. It's a stickiness to times of the old. And some of us still want things to return back to the normal, like to the good old days, right? But this does not seem to be the direction of where humanity is heading right now, right? And so we're having to be forced to become intimate with conflict, whereas before we could just avoid it. And we did avoid it at all costs.
I may add, this is so powerful what you're saying, because we're experiencing collectively and personally, me, I experienced grief this year. Like Agathe was saying, you know, this is the year where nothing is certain. And on March 27th, my sister, who's 57 years old, unexpectedly passed away in her sleep. Thursday, she was awake. Friday, she didn't wake up. So it was we couldn't even take her to the hospital. She was gone. It was finite. Like, and processing that grief, I've never experienced it. So it was such a huge process for me. And prior to that, I was always, every morning, I started a spiritual practice, like a dedicated spiritual practice last year around December. I guess a year before that, sorry, the years just go by. But I couldn't go into my, I couldn't meditate. Once that hit, I couldn't meditate. I couldn't go into my heart. And I was like, well, as soon as she passed, the next day I went into my heart and I said, I want to see you. you know, because I was like, I want to talk to you. And I knew in my heart space, I can do that. And she came. Wow. And she spoke to me. And it was beautiful because I like visceral, I could see her in my heart space, right? I always go there. When I have my clients with my Reiki, I take all of my clients into my heart space. The table is there. Everything is there. So it is a place. And that's what the School of the Heart has given me personally, that gift, that journey, that down into my heart, and then that room in that space, and then the universe. And for that, I am forever grateful. And then when this happened, I couldn't go in. After seeing her, I didn't want to go back in again in case I saw her again. But, and it was grieving. It was like pictures, you know, Facebook shows this memory on your phone. It was a process. Not only that, I lost another, or three of us sisters. Another one, she passed of cancer on August 29th. So three people in 7 months that passed. So this is a lot of grief with the collective.
Yes.
So, but it was, I said, no, I want to go back into my heart. I want to be there. I want to heal this. I don't want it to be pain. I want it to be a teaching. And what is the teaching out of this? It was that time is precious. I mean, it is so precious. Whereas, like you said, the system around us, it doesn't tell us that. It doesn't teach us that. It teaches life is infinite. You can do whatever, whenever. So doing things that the system wants you to do, you know, working the job that you don't want to do, you go into it because you think you need the money, all of that stuff. I'm a little bit of an older generation, so I have been in the job that I do, but I really enjoy my job. But the new generation, I can see that they're not buying into that 40 year at the same workplace. They don't buy into that. But at the same time, of course, I've gone back into my heart and I do my meditations now. And it's beautiful because I need to go in. And that's what the school, like, it's so difficult to explain in words how beautiful, what a gift it is to be able to journey, to go into your heart. It really is a gift. It's challenging, but once I'm in there, you know, what I thought was important, which is my conditioning, as soon as I go in, it's like, no, that's really not important. Like a management position, you know, people say, you should go for it, apply for it. And it's like, is that what my heart really wants? I go in, and when I go in, it's like, no, not at all. The energy of that doesn't jive at all. So I'm processing the grief still, but I'm so grateful. Like going into my heart, I do my, you know, so many of the meditations that I do. And what I really love is to, as I embody this, as I am living this, really, I do. I talk about sometimes my experiences with my clients. And if I may share, I want to share this one because it's so beautiful. In a Reiki session, the client was lying down. She was pregnant. And we're talking about conscious parenting. And the baby literally came up and he looked at me and he said, thanks for taking care of my mom. And then he went back in. So now she doesn't know what gender he was. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't say anything. So she said, you know, I said, you know, I said, I felt the baby. And she goes, oh, you did? Did you know what gender? I said, no, I can't tell you and all that stuff. So it was so beautiful. It was just like because it's in my heart space, right? And so when she messaged me and it was the gender revealing that they did, she goes, we're having gender reveal. I said, show me the color before you do anything. I'm not saying anything. And then she showed me it was all blue. And I said, yeah. She goes, I knew you saw him. I knew you did. She goes, I felt it. So it's so beautiful because it's in that unity consciousness, like you were saying. It's in that oneness. And there, it's like, there is no difference. Like that little one was a teacher to me right there, right? And it's such a gift. It really is such a beautiful gift to be able to embody it. And as I embody it, I talk this way, you know? And so people look at me. Some could say, so naive. It's so, I don't know. But others look at me and they're like, how are you so loving? Like, how come you don't get pissed off or hold grudges? Like, obviously, sometimes I get challenged, you know, with people. But that grudges and the judgment, I never told my kids, like, I always said to my kids, never say, I'm so jealous of you or this or that. That's a very powerful word. If they have something or they become something that you really like, I say, that really inspires me. It inspires me so much that I'd like to do something like that one day, or I'd like to have something like this, even if it's a toy or whatever. Always inspired by it. Because the word jealousy, I was growing up, I was not a jealous child. And so I never liked the energy of that word. Even the energy of it is heavy. So
for some of the people that are out there now listening to our conversation, I'm going to propose that all four of us, and maybe Agatha, you can start, is give, you know, maybe two or three or even more if you do have, in a nutshell, how could the listeners out there bring more unity and consciousness into their lives and help others? I mean, we've had some great examples here. So maybe you can touch on that, and then maybe each of us can go ahead and take a crack at it, because I know that I get questioned all the time myself. So this is the opportunity for the listener to say, hey, that thing that you talk about, unity consciousness, and how can we be supportive of one another? What are some of the things that we can actually help them with?
I think that's it's a very nice idea, and challenging to put it into, you know, a few words of how can I bring more unity into my life. One of the things that I think is essential is a pause for everything, from everything, right? We live in a fast-paced world. Everything is built on division and polarity. So taking time outdoors, connecting with the nature, just taking a moment of break from all these things, I think it's essential to, first of all, to listen to yourself. One of the reasons that we are so divided is because we stop listening to what's going on inside of us, and we tend on to listen to, you know, all the things around us. So there is a wisdom within everybody, right? And it's nothing that's I don't know, it's not rare. Everybody has it. You're wise inside, you're divine. It's just finding that spot in you, finding the divinity inside of you. So pausing from everything, right? And taking a breath, pause, breathe, connect with what's going inside. And I think what comes is perception changes. The moment you stop, you connect with nature, you breathe, you realize that nobody can take something from you. Right. I think that's one of the reasons that we find ourselves divided, that we feel competitive about stuff, that somebody's going to take from me. I'm going to lack something. I'm going to, you know, there is this competition with everything. Maida spoke about jealousy, you know, there are a ton of different ways that we think people, fears that we have that we're not going to have enough, for example. But we're always full. And that's when we live in division, we always feel we lack. When we live in oneness and in fullness, there's always more than enough. The universe always has more than enough for everybody that's here, right? It's just our state of being that stops, the flow from coming to us, or abundance, right? It's a beautiful world. Everything you need is there for you. It always has been. It always going to be. I know that when people are going through a tough time, it's hard to see. I think it's for everybody is the same, right? I'm going through difficulties. I don't feel there is abundance. I don't feel the universe is providing for me. But to change that, it starts from here. So pausing, take a breath, connecting with nature, connect with what's going on inside of you. For sure, go through your heart journey, right?
That's beautiful. Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that.
And then I'm going to say, let's wrap up here and continue this conversation in our next podcast. But Agathy, all of that tool and all of these other tools we've been speaking about going into the heart is all in the workshops, right?
Mm-hmm,
like, sure. And like you said, we've got 200 teachers across 32 countries doing workshops. And yeah, we're going through COVID times. And so, you know, we have maybe less in-person workshops now than normal. But come to our website, theschooloftheheart.com, and engage with us. Have a look at what we've got. And I think you'll find that you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very difficult for us to describe what being in the heart feels like. You just sometimes have to feel it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so let's resume this conversation in part two. And we love you, and we'll see you next time.